Some big coaching news off the Monday night loss by the Bills last night. Let's take you through all of it, starting with the game, and that's where a lot of it happened. Josh Allen and the Bills hosting the Broncos, fourth quarter tied at 15, and Russell Wilson throwing it out to Javonte Williams for the touchdown. Broncos lead 21-15.
That's a great job by Russell Wilson taking that hit and getting that ball off.
Bills driving, 2 minutes to go, second and goal from the Denver 6, and Allen keeps it himself, taking it in for the touchdown. The Bills make the extra point. They lead now 22-21. Feels like they might escape a close one. Ensuing Broncos drive, though, about 30 seconds left. Third and 10 from their own 45, and Wilson lofting it up to Jerry Jeudy.
It's a really nice job play call-wise by Sean Payton, calling the go route versus all-out man pressure, and then Russell Wilson drifting enough to get the ball up.
The pass interference right there by Johnson, and Josh Allen, of course, can't believe it. Then 24 seconds, both teams with no timeout. Wilson kneels it. And both teams now scrambling to get their special teams units on the field. The clock is ticking. Once they're both set, you see the Bills have 12 men on the field. Count them. We're going to count them for you. And that's not good. So the 41-yard attempt from Lutz is missed right here. It's wide right. The play wouldn't count, though, because of the too many men on the field. So once again, the sloppy mistakes for the Bills continue as time is expiring. They're running out of time. Josh Allen can't believe it. A second attempt here now just from 36 yards. And here he drills it. So Russell Wilson and the Broncos win. They pull off the 24-22 win. Yeah, we all picked the Bills, but felt like they might win this one. The Bills lost, littered though, as we just showed you a few of them, critical mistakes. They turned the ball over four times, tied for their most in a game this season. Buffalo dropped four passes, fumbled three times, both of which are their most in a game this season. And that continues a troubling trend for the Bills, who have turned the ball over 13 times in their last six games, the most turnovers by any team during that span. And as a result, Buffalo has lost four of its last six games while averaging over 14 fewer points per game than they did prior to this stretch. This dramatic music really feels appropriate for the conversation we're about to have, as we have a packed house here on NFL Live. Dan Orlovsky, Andrew Hawkins, we got Marcus Spears there, Dan Graziano here as well. But let's start with the news there, Graz. The poor play happens last night, of course, and that led to offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey being fired. How did it all go down?
Yeah, Buffalo really felt, Laura, like they had improved their offensive personnel this year. And as a result, the offense should be better than it was last year. They felt like they addressed the offensive line. For the first time since they selected Josh Allen, they took an offensive player in the first round of the draft. That was tight end Dalton Kincaid. So they felt like they would see an improvement. And as that stat just showed, first few weeks, they did. But they haven't felt like they've had the consistency they want to have on offense in terms of scoring points and being consistently explosive. They also feel like Josh Allen's turnovers continue to be a problem. There was a mandate from up high, get the turnovers under control this year. They have not. So those two factors. And then, you know, I think there was obviously a lot of anger in the building over the way last night played out, and then being 5-5 through 10 games. That really conspired to the point where they felt like somebody had to take the fall. They're obviously not going to fire Josh Allen for turning the ball over. So Ken Dorsey's the one who ends up taking the blame.
Yeah, that last line, interesting there, Graz. You're with us throughout this show, so stay right there. Hawk, you think that's the right move for the Bills?
Absolutely. It was the right move. They were not getting any better on a week-to-week basis, and they were playing like Josh Allen is playing holistically, which is inconsistent. And even when you look at those turnovers, a lot of that is because of their detail and their lack of attention to detail in their processes on a play-to-play. You're talking about quarterback, running back exchanges. You're talking about Josh Allen throwing deep outs to the field late and not in rhythm. And also just even how they've deployed this system. They've relied too heavily on Josh Allen just running around and slinging it down the field. So in these games where you have to be methodical and you have to pick your opportunities to take risk and push the ball, they're not able to do it. And poor execution results in poor play, and that's why they have the result they have today.
So it's a results-based business. And this is important to be said. Anytime someone loses their job in this league, it stinks. Yeah. Ken Dorsey's a smart football mind. This was needed. This offense schematically is broken. Number one, it's broken because it's the easiest in the NFL to prepare for right now. It's outrageously predictable. It's not what it was in the first 3 or 4 weeks. And those that stretch that we had, that graphic in the first 4 weeks, how good they were on offense, they majored in putting Josh Allen under center, and they ran a ton of play-action pass. They didn't do enough of it last night. Look at that right there, almost 10 yards per play, whether run or pass from under center. So they didn't do that enough. Also, when they get into their 2x2 formation, we talked about that last week. Not only is that predictable, they really run two things. It's either a little bit slant flat RPO, or it's a short end to Stephon Diggs. That's him at the bottom of the screen. You don't think Surtain, look at where he's in. He's inside leverage, waiting for the short end, jabbing. He's not open. Dump it off to the back. Now, realistically, that's a 1 or 2 yard gain. But it turns into this 8 yard gain because James Cooks makes something out of nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the issues that has presented itself with this offense is if everybody executes at a level of 10, they'll play well because they're really talented in some positions. Yep. But the expectation that they would all execute at that level of 10 consistently is unrealistic. There was never any schematic advantage to the players, and that started to show itself week by week too much.
I dig it, Dan. We talked about Ken Dorsey and the lack of creativity. But I'm going to take another angle to this conversation when it comes to Ken Dorsey losing his job. Could we surmise that he doesn't trust his quarterback? I think that's realistic when we start talking about the inconsistency of Josh Allen. I know the creativity part is completely different than what I'm talking about. But 2 weeks ago, we showed a shot that he took in the hole and threw an interception. This week, we show an out route and he throws another pick. Sometimes decision-making has to overcome when you're not in favorable situations. Let me say this again. I do believe that this was needed with Ken Dorsey. We saw the success of Josh Allen when he had Brian Daboll, and everybody's going to go back to that. But I think we need to also have a conversation about the potential limitations of what you can do and be asking your quarterback to do. Like you said, simple. Did they simplify because they worried about him making bad decisions and throwing in bad places and putting the ball in harm's way? And here's the other thing, Dan. I watched a 4th-and-1 last night where they lined up in shotgun and they needed to convert. And they dropped back and threw a pass. Tell me what you were thinking. I wanted to pull my TV out the screen.
Yeah, I hated it. Number one, it's 4th-and-1. If you're going to get in the shotgun with Josh Allen, there has to be some element of quarterback run or zone read. I don't mind it, that situation, Marcus. If you're in 4th-and-1 and you're in drop back football, shotgun pass, you're making it at least 4th-and-6 because you're taking the ball 5 yards deeper than it has to be in your shotgun alignment. I want to push back on the not trusting Josh thing. This is where I'm coming from, Marcus. One of the, because everyone will throw out these numbers that this offense is actually okay. I disagree with that. They've got players that mask that. One of the areas they severely struggle in is creating explosive plays, right?
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason why I think we're seeing some forces from Josh, like that the whole shot interception you're talking about or that ball right before the half, when you are only being asked to kind of play like dink and dunk quarterback and you're a stallion, it's boring. There's no schematic thing to let's try to push. No, Marcus, I'm telling you, that's a real in my eyes, that's a real thing. When you just play shotgun, dump the ball off football, as a quarterback, you're sitting there going, how do we create explosive plays? If we're not going to call things to create explosive plays, you feel it incumbent upon yourself to generate those explosive plays.
Okay, so my pushback is two things. I saw them make a concerted effort to take the ball out of his hands and then give him a shot at an explosive play when they scored the touchdown, when he had Dalton wide open in the corner of the end zone. The other thing is, Dio, if we are calling plays, right? Like you my OC, and I'm your quarterback, and I got a tremendous amount of talent, but I have to manage you. Like, let's not – they have to manage – Josh Allen,
I think they have
to
manage his competitiveness. Yes, I think that's fair.
And where he will, what he will try to do and put his team in harm's way. It's a legitimate conversation that needs to be had about not only his decision making, but do you have to coach around that? Like, I get the explosive plays and I get scheming up things to push the ball downfield. We know that he has an elite arm and he can do that. But Josh Allen throws too many interceptions, bro, and it limits sometimes what you can do with him.
Okay, so I'm curious of Groz's take on this, what you're hearing along the lines, Groz, the theory that maybe Ken Dorsey didn't trust Josh Allen.
Yeah, I don't think that holds up. You got to remember, they didn't bring Ken Dorsey in from outside the organization when Brian Daboll left. Dorsey was Josh Allen's position coach starting in Allen's second year in the league. Daboll and Dorsey helped develop and create Josh Allen together. And the relationship there is extremely strong. So I don't think that that's really what's going on. If anybody would know about Josh Allen's limitations regarding the interceptions and all that, it would be number one Daboll, number two Dorsey, who've basically been with him his whole career. So I think schematically is where the Bills felt like Dorsey was falling down or not living up to what they wanted him to be. I think Josh Allen is what he is, and nobody on that staff would know that better than Dorsey.
And for me, this boils down simply to this. Number one, wildly predictable. They run the same four or five plays, pass or run. Number two, they do very little pass game to get Stephon Diggs as the focal point in their pass game. And three, they don't do the things that make every one of their players on offense better, and they major in the things that they do not excel at.
Yeah, I mean, like you talked about, what is their foundation on a week-to-week
basis? They
don't
have an identity.
What is the thing that you're like, hey, if all else fails, we can depend on this thing?
Josh,
your point about Dorsey, there's not a single player you can argue that is at their very best under this offense. And when you talk about the turnovers, to both Groz and Marcus's point, where I'll help kind of push back, is that whenever you have those kind of turnovers that are process-oriented, detail-oriented, that means you are not putting that in on a weekly basis, making it an emphasis, and also holding your players to a standard and to an accountability that this can't happen because it happens way too consistently for the Buffalo Bills.
Fellas, I get it. I understand it. I get y'all schematically. I'm not contesting that at all. But Josh Allen is out there throwing them interceptions, okay? And we ask, like, some of those interceptions, yes, Gabe Davis goes through his hands. Mm-hmm. The dude has so many turnovers. We are not going to go past that. I don't care who calling plays. He turns the football over. And you know what happens when your quarterback is prone to turn the football over? You call games differently. That's my experience since Pee Wee football. Like, he has an issue of giving it away.
Yeah, I will tell you this, Marcus. You might not have heard it, but Dan did agree earlier that Josh Allen throws too many interceptions. Later on in the show, we're going to get into the Stephon Diggs angle of all this, and Groz is going to tell us that Diggs may have had a little bit more of a factor here in this coaching change decision than you might expect. That's all coming your way on a packed day here on NFL Live, so don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're talking about the Cowboys. Their offense finally hitting its stride at just the right time. Is this the best we've seen Dak in his career? You don't want to miss what Jerry Jones had to say about it. Plus, the Bengals suffered a heart-wrenching loss to the Texans on Sunday after a rough second half. Stay tuned as our Bengals reporter joins us to fill us in on the latest in Cincinnati. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled B-A-B-B-E-L.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Next week, what a big Monday Night Football game we have for you. Kansas City, where Super Bowl 57 is going to have a rematch between Jalen Hurts and the Eagles and Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. 8 Eastern on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes. Peyton and Eli once again on ESPN2 and ESPN Plus. We'll also be there for NFL Live. Time to read and react to some of the news from around the NFL. We're going to start in Dallas, where Jerry Jones had some high praise for his quarterback.
Games that are the best of his career, and in my view, and right at the tops of any that I've seen in a position where it's not only physical but it's mental. He is the best that I've ever seen of taking it from its inception in a classroom all the way to practice in the field, and we're seeing the fruits of that.
High praise. Marcus, you agree with Jerry?
I think he's playing his best since 2016 when he entered the league. And you think about what has changed for Dak, his athleticism, the way he's moving. And it's something that I screamed about with Kellen Moore about standing him in the pocket and trying to get him to operate. He can operate like that, but it doesn't put defenses in a bad way, and it doesn't give Dak an advantage against defenses. People talked about the Giants. Oh, he cooked the Giants. Well, he cooked the Philadelphia Eagles the week before. And he's been doing this as the season has been going along. He should absolutely be a part of the MVP conversation that we're having right now in the league. But Dak's athleticism and his ability to process on the move and even taking off and getting yards and converting third downs is what has changed, and that's why he's playing so well right now.
You heard him say, too, a couple weeks ago, he's like, I found my groove. It looks like it. All right, let's stay in Texas. Let's go to Houston, where C.J. Stroud has just been so much fun to watch. He continues to impress with his play on the field, but he's happiest with the confidence his team has shown in him. Take a listen.
I just went to D'Amico and let him know, man, I got you. We're going to win this game. And he looked me right in the eye and said, I trust you. So it's amazing to have trust in your head coach. And I'm a rookie and my OC, Bobby, man. Like, I think Bobby, we need to give him his flowers. He called a great game again, leaned on his players and took risk. And I appreciate him for even doing that.
Sometimes surroundings matter so much. What jumps off the film, though, for you about the rookie?
What doesn't jump off the film? I got to give Dan the Man his props for being the first one to the C.J. Stroud for MVP
Dan
parade.
The Man.
And he's absolutely right. Because, look, we can go into all the numbers. You've heard him 1,000 times. But what makes him special is if you watched him throughout the season, he has gotten better as the year's gone on. And in the midst of games, he is a rare quarterback that gets better as the game goes on. And to his point, when these players need a throw and you're in that huddle, you've been in this situation, you got to look across and have a QB that in his eyes, you know he is going to make the play. He is the ultimate poised quarterback, the definition of poised. Well prepared, self-confident, ready and in position, always with C.J. Stroud.
Man, it's been I wonder if he's going to win the MVP. Wouldn't that be fun? Rookie, we love it. Let's go to Minnesota, where Joshua Dobbs has been a revelation for the Vikings after Kirk Cousins' season-ending injury. In his first two games with the Vikings, both of which were wins, Dobbs passed for 426 yards without throwing an interception. He also had 110 rushing yards, as you see right there. Dobbs, the first player in NFL history to have at least 400 passing yards, 100 rushing yards, and zero interceptions in his first two games. What's jumped out from the film standpoint for you?
In 2 weeks, he's got a really good grasp of really the most important physical trait in this offense outside of throwing the ball. It's marrying his feet to the concept. Okay, this deep cross off a 7-step play action drop, he has to have one hitch at the top of his drop, meaning one gather of his feet, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now, he can only do one hitch because that's the fundamental, most important part. The ball has to come out now to throw to that green grass. To do this in this short a period of time is really unique. I've been around quarterbacks that it takes a year to get this under control. Watch Josh's feet. He's got to go 1, 2, 3 in the gun, ready to throw in the choice route to TJ Hockenson at the bottom. It's not there. You cannot hitch in the pocket. It is one hitch and reset backside to the secondary option, replacing the void in the middle of field because the linebacker drifted to Hockenson. Bang, ball out. Again, the understanding of my feet tell me when and where to throw the football. 3rd and 10, this is late in the game. You have a deep middle sit by Powell. This has got to be in the gun. 1, 2, 3 and hitch. It's not a 3 and ready. It's a 3 and hitch, but only one hitch. The ball has to come out right now because those zone defenders are going to squeeze off Josh's eyes. That timing on 3rd and 10 to get that 12-yard completion, the most important part of this Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan Kevin O'Connell offense. Obviously, you got to throw it, but your feet tell you when and where to throw the ball. He's mastered that, or at least gotten a great grasp of it in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you think about Dobbs' journey so far this year. Back at the trade deadline, the Cardinals said, yeah, we're good because Kyler Murray's coming back. The Vikings picked him up. We're like, that's a good pickup. Now they look like geniuses.
Well done.
Still to come, we got a huge game between the Bengals and Ravens on Thursday night. Might be the game of the year so far. Stay with us to hear how Lamar Jackson says he's preparing for this divisional matchup. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Cincinnati was at home playing some of the best football of any team in the NFL.
Burrow throws deep downfield. Touchdown to Ja'Marr Chase.
Burrow throws to the end zone, and it's intercepted by Shaq Griffin.
It doesn't come down to that play. You know, there's plenty of plays over the course of the game that we could have got more points off of.
Just thought we were going to be able to pull it out. Didn't make enough plays at the end of the day.
Yeah, Cincinnati coming off that last-second loss to Houston on Sunday. Our Bengals reporter Ben Baby joining us now. And Ben, huge divisional matchup with the Ravens this week in just a couple days. What are the Bengals saying about this game?
Yeah, Laura, the stakes aren't lost on anybody here in Cincinnati inside the building as they get ready to face the Ravens. Yesterday, we spoke to Bengals offensive coordinator Brian Callahan, and he said it's like a playoff game in November. And we were just in the locker room a few minutes ago, and everybody that I spoke with echoed that sentiment. And I asked Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow about the heightened stakes going into this game as the Bengals are looking for their first divisional win.
You know, whenever we play these guys, it's always battle. You know, whatever the records are, every time we play these guys, it's going to be tough. It's always going to be a lot at stake.
You feel like this one has added significance to that being said, given kind of how the
season's going? It's a big part of the year for both of us. You know, they're coming off a loss. We're coming off a loss. We're both trying to, you know, win the division. So it's a big game.
Now, Joe Burrow played his college ball at LSU and in the SEC, something Swagoo knows a little bit about. And in those rowdy venues, and M&T Bank Stadium will be rocking on Thursday. And the Bengals are aware of what that's going to be like. And I asked Burrow about what it's like going into those games and, if you know, what it's like being in a hostile environment. And he said that's what he likes about football, a tough opponent inside a tough environment in an important part of the season.
Yeah, Ben, he's no stranger to those big stages, that's for sure. Thanks so much to you for being with us. We can't wait for this game. And the Bengals allowed 188 rushing yards in the loss to the Texans. That's part of Cincinnati's defense. It's been a struggle and an issue all season long. So the Bengals have allowed 5 yards per rush. That's second worst in the NFL. Cincinnati has allowed a first down on 30% of their opponent's rushing attempts. That's worse than the NFL. And that kind of tells the story right there, just that last stat. Let's start with the defense here, though, Marcus. What's the biggest concern for you right now?
In the run game, and it's starting to show up a lot, especially I think it's one answer that offensive coordinators are having to Lou Anarumo blitzing off the edge with Mike Hilton and how he likes they running right at that. And then a lot of it is just capturing the edge, and it's a lot of undisciplined. Here's one of those examples of just hitting it off the left guard, left tackle. You see a lot of outside runs starting to get them, and the technique is not bad. It's just guys are not flowing fast enough and getting to the ball. This one by Pratt, he came off the edge a little too shallow. He was supposed to get the edge. It was an underneath stunt by the defensive end. These are the type of things that teams watch, though, because now we're starting to see the Cincinnati Bengals create a lot of movement to try to get the run taken care of, and that's how you know a team is reeling defensively. They got to get this figured out, and I think just get back to fundamental playing fronts and playing blocks.
When it comes to tackling from their back seven, the linebacker and secondary unit, I thought it was the worst I've seen out of anybody this season. Ooh. And that was an issue to start the season for them, Marcus. But like Cam Taylor-Britt outside there, the gap's already taken by Scott. Yep. That's poor tackling when it comes to the discipline of their defense. Lou Anarumo is calling stuff, but they got to make tackles. And he gets run through right there by Singletary. Another open field tackle by Cam Taylor-Britt, who had that huge pick and all of a sudden, but some of these runs that should be 3-4 yard runs got turned into 12, 15 yard runs because of the poor tackling on the back end. And just so everybody knows, offensive people, when they call runs, more often than not, they have one goal. Get the ball to the unblocked defender. Mm. We watch tape. Mm-hmm. Who's the bad unblocked defender tackler? So you now have that on tape. That was the story to start the season. Mm-hmm. You're going against a team in Baltimore who loves to run the football. I promise you, you know, that they're looking at it going, Todd Monken, their play caller, we're going to run the football at number 29 to see if he's willing and then capable of making those tackles.
Yeah, we'll see if Anarumo and that defense can adjust this time around. It, you know, Hawk, I think probably Texans fans are like, well, maybe the Texans are just really good, which is true. Yeah. Are any concerns for the Bengals on the offensive side after this one?
There are things the Bengals offense needs to do better at. They have to get more production out of their run game. In order for that to be balanced for Joe Burrow, Mixon specifically, they have to find pass catchers who are more consistent outside of Ja'Marr Chase. That being said, I am not overly concerned about what the Bengals offense put on tape. They still look like they are on the same trajectory we saw for the last 3 weeks. Some plays didn't go their way. Joe Burrow can't throw back-to-back interceptions in the waning moments of the second half. They can't go on stalls. Tyler Boyd, uncharacteristic drop at the end of the game. If he makes that catch, we're having a completely different conversation. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while in the NFL, you just go up against the dude. And I think they underestimated the Texans and C.J. Stroud specifically and his ability at the end of the game to make the plays that he did.
Yeah, and no more underestimating these Texans. People need to be put on alert. I think they are in some ways. Hey, we're still carrying on here on NFL Live. We got a lot more coming your way that you don't want to miss. Dan and Marcus hitting the XOs and hitting the tape. What are they seeing from T.J. Watt this season, and what makes him so special to the Steelers defense? You don't want to miss it. Did anyone see what I did there? No.
I loved it.
Thanks, guys. Thank you, Hawk, for paying attention. We'll be right back.
You're welcome. Ah.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
A league where we talk about offense so much, he's a legit dominant defender.
He is the best defensive player in football, period.
Pressure ball out. Picked up. Walk. Touchdown Steelers.
I think it just speaks to how dominant he is and how he just plays with this no excuses attitude.
Ooh, I like that. Okay, TJ Watt pressured Jordan Love 5 times in Sunday's win. His 4th game this season with at least 5 pressures. That's tied with Max Crosby and Aiden Hutchinson for the most in the NFL. And TJ Watt is arguably having his best season yet. His 4 games with 5 or more pressures are already tied for the most in a season in his career. Dan, we know how good Watt is as a pass rusher, but there's another aspect of his game that stood out to you.
And part of it is I've heard Marcus Spears say so often that you have to earn the right to rush the quarterback. Now, that means you have to be willing and able to stop the run. One of the phrases we hear when it comes to stopping the run in defensive football is you have to set the edge. So I think it's important for everybody at home to learn and understand what setting the edge is, meaning front side of a football, and then also how it impacts the backside. Okay, so TJ Watt is going to be right here on the backside. Now, Green Bay is going to run what we call a full zone scheme. Everybody offensive line is going to work away from TJ Watt, which is exactly what I would do as a play caller. I want to know this from a person who played defensive line in the NFL. Marcus, what is the most important part of the front side of this when it comes to setting the edge?
The front side, D.O., setting the edge means not just running and flowing with the play. You have to put a stop to the offensive lineman to condense where that run pocket is so you can squeeze and your guy on the backside has a shorter area to cover. If you look at Highsmith and his position and the defensive tackle, you see that they are playing with outside leverage. Both of their offensive linemen feet are stopped, so they are sitting and stopping the edge, and TJ is able to flow with a condensed edge and be able to get to this running back, AJ Dillon. If this at any rate, if AJ Dillon can just flow a little bit more, it would create a half a second more for TJ Watt to get to him, and he may hit his head on the goalpost.
Okay, so front side, the most important part to Marcus is those guys got to play with great sit leverage and kind of build this fence right here. Now, Marcus, TJ, when he's coming from that backside, what's the most important element when it comes to chasing that ball down? Because I think this, if he doesn't make that, I think this is a home run hitting his head. Like, what's the most important part for TJ on the backside?
The most important thing is to understand his leverage and how flat you need to be to the line of scrimmage. And so many coaches say flat to the line of scrimmage, but they don't detail it, D.O. The detail is once I get flat, I may even have to dig into the back of the offensive line a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You see this adjustment he makes right here where he's leaning towards the line of scrimmage to make this play? He got flat, but he realized if I'm not going to be able to get my head across A.J. Dillon's hip, so what I need to do is when I go for this tackle, I need to bend back towards the offensive line to get him on the ground.
I love that. Okay, so second play is going to be different. Last time it was zone. This time we're going to pull 2 guys that way, and then the front side of this offensive line is going to block down. Now here is going to be TJ Watt on the backside. Now these pullers, Marcus, what's the most important part of the front side of this when it comes to not dealing with the zone, but the pullers in this moment?
It's the same principle, D.O., except you now as a defensive end have an opportunity. You either have 2 jobs. Either we spilling, where in this case, Highsmith will go underneath and we will have a wrapper that's supposed to make that tackle on the free man, or you do what he's doing here. You call muddy it up. You hit the puller, take pullers. He actually took 2 right here. This is phenomenal by Alex Highsmith. In that way, this gets condensed. Again, we talk about setting edges. We set edges by condensing the end of the line of scrimmage. And then you look at TJ right here. Now he's checking the action. The reason why he's so far away and displaced from the flow of the offensive line is because he's going to check this reverse. He's going to check the quarterback. But Dan, remember I told you in that first clip, now you have to get flat and bend back towards the offensive line of scrimmage. Look where TJ ends up making this play at from where he started. He up the field. Now watch, he dips back into the offensive line trying to get his head across. It's just phenomenal football player. You got to be a super athlete to do it. It ain't like everybody can, but they did a phenomenal job of setting the edge and making it a close quarter tackle for him.
I love that. And it kind of reminded me of, I've heard you say it so often, dude, you got to earn the right to rush the quarterback.
Rush the pass.
And my
Absolutely.
Perspective is this, Marcus, that first clip is a huge run, if not. Instead, it's 2nd and 8 because of it. And then that last clip is going to be a nice chunk run. If not, it's 3rd and 6 because of it. So
yes,
the
sir.
Effort matters. But I love that point that you made of him leaning back into the line of scrimmage off the backside. Well done, Bob.
My man. Appreciate it.
Hey, Dan, you got low there. New on NFL Live, I'm the Ravens athlete. Getting ready for the Bengals on Thursday night. Lamar Jackson spoke to the media moments ago.
The game's been going both ways last few years. But, you know, guys just a lot hungrier, you know, on both teams. Guys want to win. But I don't believe nobody want to win more than we do. I'll say that. Every game for us is a must win for us, you know, not just because it's in a division game, but we definitely, I believe our team is definitely a lot hungrier just from what happened Sunday in a division loss in a close game. We definitely hungry as well.
Kind of scary, Hawk.
Yeah.
If you're the Bengals thinking about these Ravens being hungry,
yep.
What's important for them Thursday night?
What's important for them is the offense has to close out these football games because this Cleveland Browns game that they lost, they should have won, and the offense should have been the reason for that. The two ways they do that is, number one, Lamar has to protect the football. That last pick six, not his fault, but his own model is no excuses. He understands that. And number two, allow your cream to rise to the top for this offense. Keaton Mitchell is a home run hitter who opens up your run game. Give him more opportunities. And also, in the pass catching, Zay Flowers, yes, incredible receiver. Mark Andrews, absolutely mainstay. After that, it's been kind of receiver by committee. It's time to allow OBJ to do his thing. He has shown improved these last couple of weeks. His knee is better. He is back, and he gives your team the best opportunity to win down the stretch.
Yeah, they lost the game, but he looked back last week for sure. Okay, Ravens fans, you want to feel really good? Lamar Jackson 7-1 in his career against the Bengals. So we'll see if he can make it another one. We got more coming your way here on NFL Live with the boys. All right, Stephon Diggs collected just 3 receptions in the Bills' tough loss to the Broncos last night. We've seen this before. Could tension be brewing? Hear why Dan fears the worst going forward. We'll be right back. Back to JMU, where the football team is in the midst of a perfect season, plus a live performance from the Jonas Brothers. It all starts Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern.
I love the Jonas Brothers.
Joe Bro guy over here. Sunday NFL Countdown crew has you covered for Week 11 at 10 a.m. Eastern, and the Monday Night Countdown crew gets you set for Eagles Chiefs, the Super Bowl rematch, with a 2-hour pregame show starting at 6 Eastern, both on ESPN and the app. Let's get back to last night on Monday Night Football. At 5-5, the Bills find themselves on the outside looking in, as you see there at the playoff picture in the AFC. And according to ESPN Analytics, Buffalo has a 31% chance to make the playoffs, which ranks 10th in the AFC. There are 7 playoff spots. They're running out of room and running out of time. And as for why the Bills only have a 31% chance to reach the playoffs, take a look at the schedule. Buffalo has to go on the road to face both of last season's Super Bowl participants in the Eagles and the Chiefs. There are also tough matchups against a pair of 6-3 teams and the Cowboys and the Dolphins there. According to ESPN Analytics, once again, the Bills have the hardest remaining schedule in the NFL. So it's only up from there. All right, so a reminder of the news today. The Bills fired offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey after the bad loss to the Broncos. Joe Brady, the quarterback's coach, will take over for now. A huge opportunity for him, by the way. We'll get into that. But here's Sean McDermott, the head coach, on the decision today.
This felt like it was time for change. We need to be a confident offensive football team and find consistent production, and that's really what it came down to. Well, you know, Josh and I speak daily, and this decision was made by me and me alone. Beyond that, it's Josh's responsibility and job to come out and help Coach Brady formulate the game plan and to come out and execute the game plan and take care of the football and lead our offense more than anything.
All right, so Dan Graziano back with us here.
And Graz, care of the football.
Yeah, well, taking care of the football, important. We just heard
concept.
What McDermott said, though, Graz, and he said Josh Allen didn't have any piece of this decision, but I'm curious about another player in Stephon Diggs. How might he have influenced Dorsey being fired?
Well, it's certainly not directly, obviously, but I do think there's a sense of, like, if we keep doing the same thing and not getting better results, things could possibly go off the rails. And again, I want to be careful here. I do not believe Stephon Diggs has been a problem behind the scenes this year. I do not believe that he had an issue and wanted Ken Dorsey out. But what we do know is Last night, his brother was tweeting stuff about how he had to get up out of there, right? So that's not just a coincidence. He wouldn't just do that for the sake of doing it. We do know that back in minicamp, there was an issue with Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen and the coaching staff and wanting the offense to work better. We do know that at the end of last season, when the playoff loss to the Bengals, he was clearly upset. So I think there is a sense of, in that building, of if we don't change something, if we just continue to do the same thing and not get any different results, there is a chance that some things could boil over at some point. Just probably a little bit of a factor in this decision before when all was said and done.
The reality is they haven't used Stephon Diggs. They haven't. We can be very honest about that. In the last month, it's bad, okay? In the last month, Stephon Diggs, who's one of the best wide receivers in all of football, his average depth of target, I just got this from our researcher, Ryan, in the last month is 6 yards downfield.
What?
I can do that.
Yeah.
In the first month and a half, it's almost 12 yards. So they're not using him in that right way. Laura, I remember calling Monday Night Football in week 3. Mm-hmm. It was the you and I were there. It was the Bengals versus the Rams. Must win, which was what Monday night was for the Bills, right? And I remember in the production meeting, vividly having it made clear, Ja'Marr Chase is going to get 15 balls this night. We are either going to win this game because Ja'Marr got a ton of catches. We're going to lose the game because Ja'Marr didn't get it done.
And keep in mind, Joe Burrow hobbled at that point. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter. They were going to throw it to Ja'Marr no matter what.
I watched the Bengals go, we're either going to win it because of Ja'Marr or lose. And they won the game, by the way. I've seen the Cowboys do it with CeeDee Lamb. I see the Rams do it with Cooper Kupp. I see the Rams do it with Puka Nacua. But you're telling me it's that hard, Buffalo? And I don't, Joe Brady, who's their offensive coordinator, there's a lot that fixed. Build your pass game through Stephon Diggs in more than just 5 yards short in routes.
And I would say do it systematically too. Make it make sense. Because there has been weeks where Stephon Diggs has had 16 targets versus 5 targets against the Broncos and not a single target past 5 yards. And I will say everybody has a hand in it.
What was the week that he had 16 targets? Do you have any idea off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, no.
I was probably the Raiders.
Yeah.
And they scored 50.
I don't think it was the Raiders. It might have been the – I don't know. Doesn't matter. Here's what I want to say, though. When you talk about Ja'Marr Chase and you talk about Burrow, here's where I think everybody has a hand in this. Ken Dorsey, absolutely number one culprit. There's an issue with this offense where it doesn't have any consistency. But also for Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, because what happens is if you don't have a single target past 5 yards in a game, knowing your offense runs through your number one receiver, that's something that players can fix. At some point, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs can get on the same page, and there is overflow, like you talked about, from minicamp to now, that there are issues in that locker room that they need to fix.
Really fast, Marcus, the week with the 16 targets against the Giants.
So I was going to say Giants. I don't want to be wrong.
It's okay. Go ahead, Marcus.
I was actually looking it up. He had 7 targets against Miami, but he went for 120. Mm-hmm. To your point, Dan, you gotta get the ball to your playmakers, number one. And the other thing is this with Buffalo, all right? And I think we have to come to a realization. Bills Mafia, throw all the slander. Your window is closing fast. It's happening right in front of your face. And this change, to me, is a sign that either they're going to get it corrected or they're going to have to retool. And I'm not talking about getting rid of Josh Allen because you owe him $250 million to play quarterback for you. But this team is going to have to recreate themselves. Now, we all know Joe Brady from LSU and the prolific offense that they ran there. Joe Brady was in Carolina. We thought he would be up for head coaching possibilities going forward. He's going to get more creative in this offense. He was a big part of why Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase at LSU and also Justin Jefferson were able to get enough targets throughout the game when you know you had 2 dominant guys. So I fully expect Stephon Diggs to have better numbers or at least more targets as we go forward as an offense. Here's the bottom line, guys. I'm going to go back to what I'm telling y'all earlier. We are not talking about Buffalo winning football games. We are talking about them winning Super Bowls.
Sure.
And they are not going to win a Super Bowl when their quarterback is turning the football over. I don't care how many times you throw the football to Stephon Diggs. You have to value the rock. And right now, they don't.
He's got to fix the turnovers. I think they're a symptom of the issue more than an individual. So, Stephon Diggs, as a wide receiver, what is his greatest strength in your eyes?
Is that he can do everything well. He runs routes great. He's great after the catch. He can go deep. He could take a short pass for 50 yards, right? So volume is what you want out of him. And that's why I say they have to be able to fix that in that quarterback-receiver relationship, because if you go into those situations, no matter what the OC says, no matter what Dorsey says, if Josh Allen says, I got to get the ball to Diggs, that's what's going to happen.
Their next month is huge. I think they play like the Jets.
We just showed their schedule. They have
Eagles,
the most difficult schedule coming up. They have the Chiefs as well. They have the Dolphins.
You are not
Cowboys.
Going to survive that month stretch. I honestly mean this. Unless there's over 40 targets to Stephon Diggs in that stretch.
Hey, really
you won't
fast.
Survive
it reminds
it.
Me a little bit of, it's different, but the Raiders and Davante Adams. We got to agree that Diggs is a top five receiver in the NFL, right?
Route running wise?
No question.
100%.
Yeah. No question.
Get him the ball.
It's simple. And that's where your offense has been at its best.
And I think Stephon he's best Diggs. Down the field route running.
Yes, absolutely.
He's good at the line. He's great at the line. Down the field. The only way to allow that to be a part of your game plan is play action pass.
Graz, I just want to get a reminder for everyone quickly. What went into the decision to fire Ken Dorsey today? Just recap it all for us before we end here.
Yeah, they just didn't feel like they were getting consistent enough production out of the offense. They felt like Josh Allen was still turning the ball over too much. They thought they had improved the personnel on offense this year and they would take a step forward. If anything, it stayed the same or in some cases went a little backward.
Yeah, again, we just heard from Sean McDermott, the head coach. He said this decision was his and only his. We'll keep an eye on this throughout the rest of this week and going forward. Time for one more thing before we go. Marcus, I'm handing it over to you, my friend.
Yeah, my man Marky Mark called me and said, would you mind doing a special edition of Big Man Ballin'? I said, I will oblige Marky Mark, our super producer on NFL Live, because I'm always willing. Look at my man Quinn Miners right here, and he takes on the block. Now, usually they reserve this for Jeff Saturday, but because this NFL Live, this will be Big Man Ballin'. Matter of fact, he had a few of these last night, but this is literally what you call get thrown out the club. Mm. You're not supposed to be in here. You are under 21, and we are selling alcohol, and you cannot enter into the premises. So get out of the way. This was one of the issues last night for the Buffalo Bills. They are small at the line of scrimmage. Quinn knew that, so he started tossing people all around the gym.
Hey, but we call that a BMBB, Big Man Ballin' bonus.
Bonus.
I thought it was Big Man Ballin' bet.
No, stop it. Okay, anyway, I love it. Let's get all the Big Man Ballins in throughout the entire week. We're going to do bonuses everywhere. We'll see you tomorrow on the show.
Arvita Sabonis.